Well, thanks for joining us again as we work through 1 Corinthians 15. Last week, we saw that Paul reminded the Corinthians of the gospel message. He wanted to underline to them that at the heart of the gospel is the fact that Jesus died. You can see it at the very beginning of the chapter. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Paul then went on to give some great evidence for the resurrection. But he wanted the Corinthians to remember that the resurrection was right at the heart of Christian faith. And the reason for that is what we find at the very beginning of our passage today in verse 12. Let me read. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? That's the problem, it seems, in Corinth. It seems that they don't think that there's a resurrection of the dead. Now, at one level, they know that Jesus is talked about as having been raised from the dead. But it seems that for them, the idea of resurrection doesn't really compute. Now, they've got a sort of smorgasbord spirituality in Corinth, all sorts of different ideas available to them about what people think about life, death, eternity, and all those sorts of things. And there's a sort of pick and mix culture. And it looks like they've decided that resurrection is just not one of those bits that they want to put into their particular mix of faith. And Paul wants them to see that you just can't do that. Now, we might worry or question why it is that they would want to remove the resurrection. But the resurrection was uncomfortable for the Corinthians for a couple of reasons. The first of those reasons is that it just didn't fit with the intellectual climate of the culture around them. To be those who believed in resurrection was to be a little bit sort of backward. Really, everyone believed that the soul went on, the body didn't. The soul went on, but the body didn't. And so the Corinthians wanted to lose resurrection out of their understanding of the Corinthian faith, because amongst the culture of the day, it just made them look foolish. It just made them look less than intelligent, less than sophisticated. And I guess there can be a sense in which we might be tempted to do that today. Whilst we know that the gospel has at its heart resurrection, we're also aware that we might appear a little bit foolish if we talk with confidence, as if a dead body can be raised from the dead, if people can have life beyond the grave. The idea of something spiritual is okay for most people. The idea of sort of walking, talking, living person beyond the grave just goes a little bit too far for some. And it's easier not to talk about those things than to find ourselves being looked down upon. But the second thing, of course, was that the Corinthians, it was practically inconvenient resurrection, because they wanted the heart of Christian life to be today. They wanted all the excitement and all the joy of Christian life to be today. It meant that they really struggled to work out what it meant to carry their cross for Christ, to suffer for him with a hope of something yet to come, because actually they didn't want the something yet to come, they wanted it all now. And so actually their understanding of the resurrection, well, they didn't want it because they wanted it all now. And Paul again wants to combat that wrong thinking in the Corinthians. And today's passage, he shows them what happens if you lose the resurrection. Let's come back to it, shall we, and see what he says. He says, how can you, some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Look, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? Paul is saying that the two just don't logically work together. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ can't be preached as being raised. If he is raised, then there is resurrection from the dead. Can't you see the logical inconsistency of what you're talking about there? And what he goes on to say is a number of things that follow from that, that if they want to hold to this idea there is no resurrection, that Christian life is all for today, a whole range of things come as a result of that. Now, here's the first of them. The first is this, that Christianity is truthless. Christianity is truthless. If there is no resurrection, Christianity is truthless. You see, they are in a smorgasbord spirituality, a supermarket spirituality, if you will. They can just pick and choose the doctrines that they like. But Paul is saying, look, if you pick and choose and say, I don't want to pick the resurrection of one of the doctrines I believe, what you end up with is a truthless Christianity. You see, because we're speaking as if Christ has been raised, but actually you're saying that didn't happen. So it makes people out to be liars. That's what Paul says, you see. And if Christ has not been raised, verse 14, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And more than that, says Paul, we're found to be false witnesses about God. For we've testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. See what Paul is saying? He's saying that if you say there's no resurrection, your Christianity is truthless. It means preaching is a waste of time at the human level. You know, I mean, might as well not bother, says Paul. But also at the theological level, you're telling lies about God. So actually, Corinthians, it's really significant if you say the resurrection didn't happen. Because you're saying that God can't do what he said he was going to do and what the prophets have testified that he did in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're making Christianity truthless. And something that's truthless is deeply unattractive. What people value is people who are honest and have integrity. And if your faith has not got that integrity, well, you've got nothing. So Christianity is truthless if there's no resurrection. But secondly, Paul goes on and says there's more to it as well. He says not only is Christianity truthless, he says that your faith is useless. Have a look at what he says. And if Christ, verse 17, has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's got no point. You are still in your sins. See, Paul's making the very, very strong and clear point that the resurrection demonstrates that Jesus' saving death on the cross was effective, that he has indeed beaten the power of sin, which is death. He has conquered it. Sin no longer reigns. Sin can be forgiven. There's a possibility of a restored relationship with God. Without the resurrection, we have no guarantee that Jesus' death achieved anything apart from some heroic gesture. The resurrection shows us that Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection demonstrates that his sin-bearing death was effective. And so he says, look, if you haven't got a resurrection, Corinthians, any understanding that you're forgiven is a complete falsehood, because you can't be assured of it by it to any extent at all. The resurrection guarantees forgiveness for us. And so your faith is futile. You're useless. You're still in your sins if there's no resurrection. You still face the right judgment of God that you deserve for your rejection of him. Unless the resurrection happens, then we can't claim any assurance of forgiveness. Our faith is futile, says Paul. So without the resurrection, Christianity is truthless. Without the resurrection, our faith is useless. But notice, thirdly, Paul goes on to say that without the resurrection, death is hopeless. Look at verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Any notion that people who've died trusting in Christ have a better future to look forward to is simply fanciful thinking, says Paul. No resurrection, no future. The dead in Christ are lost. And despite the fact that the Corinthians are living for today and living in the moment, which is so much a feature of our own culture, there is still this underlying, nagging understanding that there is something about us that endures beyond just this life, endures beyond the grave. And Paul is appealing to that sense in the Corinthians. He says, I know you want to live for today. I know you want to say there's no resurrection because it's uncomfortable to say there is. But you know that actually when loved ones have died, you want to know the hope of something beyond death for them. Otherwise, they're lost. It's all over. It's finished. And Paul says, look, you lose the resurrection. You lose any confidence in that. But you have the resurrection. And wonderfully, the dead in Christ are not lost. The dead in Christ are with their Saviour, a place better by far. And we will one day see them again, as we will see our Saviour face to face. Paul goes on, doesn't he, to verse 18 to say, look, verse 19, if only for this life we have faith in Christ, we are to be of all people most to be pitied. Paul's saying to the Corinthians, look, it may be intellectually convenient not to have a resurrection. It may be practically convenient not to have a resurrection because you can live for today and expect everything now. But your Christianity is truthless. You're not people of honesty and integrity. Your faith is useless. Your sin is not dealt with. And death is hopeless. You can have no confidence for those you love who trusted in Christ beyond the grave. But Paul says in verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Not an isolated example, but a pathfinder who's demonstrated the way that all who put their trust in Christ can move to a life beyond the grave with him. It is a wonderful thing, the Christian hope. A hope not only of sin forgiven today, but a life eternal with God, our Heavenly Father, and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it depends so much on both the death of Christ, so that our sin is forgiven, so that we can escape the judgment we deserve, but also the resurrection of Christ that guarantees that for us, but also gives us a hope beyond the grave that makes our Christian claims as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, those that are based on truth and not falsehood, that makes our assurance of sin forgiven something that is a reality and guaranteed, and makes our hope for all that lies beyond life, this life, even if this life is led in suffering and bearing the cross of Christ, to be a wonderful one that we look forward to. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know where you stand on all that Christ has done for you and on the resurrection that guarantees it. It may be that you're struggling with that and would like to know more. Well, do be in touch. There's an email that will come up at the very end of the service. Be in contact. We'd love to talk with you more about that. We're going to run a course for those just inquiring about the Christian faith at the beginning of May. But do see that Christian faith is based on solid realities for which there's real and concrete evidence, that it relies on the death of Christ for forgiveness, and it wonderfully depends on the resurrection of Christ for confidence in that and for the hope of a life beyond the grave. It is a gospel of great and good news, and it's a gospel that can be trusted. Will you respond to that today? Will you turn away from self-reliance and put your trust in the one who died for you and was raised and now lives and reigns and will return for you? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for the gospel that has at its heart the death of Christ according to the scriptures for our sin, and the resurrection of Christ according to the scriptures, that we might be confident of sin forgiven and have a real and sure hope of life beyond the grave. Father, we thank you for that gospel, and we pray that you may turn our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may recognise his lordship, that we may give our lives over to him, and so know that assurance of sin forgiven and that great and sure hope for eternity. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.